Large populations of fishes and birds live in the streams and ponds that sprinkle the Arctic tundra. What supports these populations has been a subject of study for a number of years. A recent discovery has found that these aquatic fauna are greatly subsidized by peat. Did you know that? Hello, I'm Karen Sedzo, and I didn't know that. The birds and fishes of the North Slope have been on a large fossil fuel subsidy since they re-established their populations there following the last ice age. Scientists at the University of Alaska Fairbanks Institute of Water Resources have been studying the life support of the Arctic fauna. It was especially puzzling because in the Arctic, spring thaw comes late, and a shortage of nutrients and meltwater restricts plant growth. But the scientists found particles of peat in the water samples collected along the waterways. Peat has been accumulating on the tundra since vegetation was reintroduced on the North Slope about 12,000 years ago as Ice Age glaciers receded. Today, the peat overlies the tundra. Only the top 15 inches thaws each summer. However, at lake shores and riverbanks, the permafrost is exposed to summer warming, and blocks of peat and soil topple into the water where bacterial populations grow on this organic matter. The scientists are able to determine the extent to which any species of fish or bird depends upon the peat by analyzing the content in its tissues. Pronounced seasonal shifts occur as aquatic plants become available in the summer. For example, grayling in the Colville River depend almost entirely on plant growth via flying insects during the summer, but in the winter, the grayling acquire 33% of their food energy from peat. I'm Karen Sedzo, and I Didn't Know That was produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC-FM. The study of seals, particularly their diving ability, may have implications for human heart attack victims. Did you know that? Hello, I'm Karen Sedzo, and I didn't know that. Investigations of the seal by University of Alaska Fairbanks scientists at the Institute of Marine Science have revealed considerable knowledge about biological adaptations in infant and adult seals. Newborn seals seem to readily adapt to the shock of birth on sea ice. The diving seal also has a natural defense against asphyxia, a reaction that is less developed in other species, including man. The diving seal experiences changes in circulation of its heart muscle. These changes resemble similar responses in human heart attack victims. Somehow, this adaptation is beneficial in the seal, but life-threatening in the human. Scientists continue to research this puzzling difference. The seal is also a key to understanding the interdependence of many species in the sea ice ecosystem. New knowledge about the nutritional and metabolic requirements of the seal, combined with information about population abundance, distribution, and food habits, permit more reliable estimates of marine mammal fish predation in Alaskan seas. I'm Karen Sedzo, and I Didn't Know That was produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC-FM. Alaska's Arctic coast is for the most part flat and featureless, and of sand and mud. But 15 miles east of Prudhoe Bay is a patch of rocks covered with abundant and diverse flora and fauna seen nowhere else along the Arctic coast. Did you know that? Hello, I'm Karen Sedzo, and I didn't know that. Alaska's amazing rock garden, or Boulder Patch as it is officially known, was discovered as a result of oil exploration on Alaska's continental shelf. Many of the tracts on the Boulder Patch were the most expensive in the joint state-federal lease sale in 1979. The most important organism in the patch is the Arctic kelp. The plant grows up to 3 meters long and is perennial. Red algae also occur, and where they cover the rocks, a rich red color glows under the water. Over 200 species of animals utilize the rocks and flora as unique substrata. The most conspicuous and best-known animal of the Boulder Patch is the large pink soft coral, Gersemia rubiformis. It is a soft-bodied animal with an internal skeleton that allows it to stand half a meter. It thrives in the kelp community. The Arctic kelp has received much attention in field studies due to its potential role as a food or carbon source. Scientists at the University of Alaska Fairbanks Institute of Water Resources have been conducting carbon isotope studies of the animals in the Beaufort Sea and specifically in Boulder Patch. These studies have revealed that kelp carbon may be subsidizing normal food sources for transient organisms and providing a consistent source of energy for resident species. The Boulder Patch, the amazing rock garden, is an ideal spot to study the kelp community, which is generally a complex community to study. I'm Karen Sedzo, and I Didn't Know That was produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC-FM. As rivers flow into coastal bays and fjords, the river water flows out over the heavier salt water. However, it appears that in some Alaskan fjords, there is fresh water flowing into the fjord toward the river mouth. Thus, the surface water might be moving in the opposite direction than was previously assumed. Did you know that? Hello, I'm Karen Sedzo, and I didn't know that. Scientists at the University of Alaska Fairbanks Institute of Marine Science are finding that some Alaskan fjords do not flow or circulate like fjords elsewhere. A fjord is a narrow, deep bay with steep sides, and they are common along the southeast and south-central Alaskan coasts. These fjords have fresh water flowing into them from rivers and rainfall, and because fresh water is lighter than seawater, it tends to lie on the surface. As it accumulates, it flows away from its source. However, in some cases, there can be a greater amount of fresh water on the seaward side of the fjord. This additional fresh water at the fjord mouth can be from large rivers discharging fresh water elsewhere along the coast. So, instead of the surface water flowing out of some of these fjords, it flows inward. This reversed surface water motion has important consequences on the movement of the pollutants in the fjord. In those fjords with the reversed circulation, surface pollutants will tend to remain within the fjord. However, the lower layers in fjords move in an opposite direction to the surface layers. This means that pollutants in the lower layers would move outward. Thus, pollutants or other substances which are placed in these fjords might move in a manner that is opposite to that previously assumed. Two fjord systems are presently being studied by IMS in the Misty Fjords National Monument east of Ketchikan. U.S. Borax is financing the study in conjunction with potential sea disposal of tailings from their nearby Quartz Hill molybdenum mine. The fate of both natural and man-made materials within an estuary depends largely upon overall circulation of the system and how the material behaves in seawater. I'm Karen Sedzo, and I Didn't Know That was produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC-FM. Warm spells in Alaska are very welcome. Interestingly, when we in Alaska are enjoying a reprieve during the winter, cold and stormy weather will often blanket the middle to eastern sections of the lower 48. Research indicates that these weather patterns are caused by waves in the atmosphere. Did you know that? Hello, I'm Karen Sedzo, and I didn't know that. Most of us have read that while we're experiencing plus 30 degrees in Fairbanks, Minnesota is having minus 30 degree temperatures. But understanding why that happens is something else. Scientists at the Institute of Marine Science and the Geophysical Institute of the University of Alaska Fairbanks explain this phenomenon in terms of waves from winds. These waves cause weather patterns and can be thought of as similar to a necklace around the Earth. This necklace consists of alternating high and low pressure centers, so that if you traveled along this necklace, you would experience fair weather, storms, and so on. These centers are hundreds of miles across. Because of this alternating pattern, a shift in the position of a high or low pressure system will cause a movement of the other systems. Thus, a shift that brings warm weather to Alaska will cause a shift in the weather pattern to bring cold weather to the mid and eastern United States. Scientists have also suggested that cold air outbreaks over the Mediterranean Sea in southern Europe are caused by shifts in the storms over the Aleutians. Researchers have been attempting to relate unusual oceanographic conditions with these changing weather patterns. Possibly the water properties in the Bering Sea and Gulf of Alaska control the weather over Canada, the United States, and elsewhere. I'm Karen Sedzill, and I Didn't Know That was produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC-FM. Most of the Bering Sea continental shelf is completely isolated by ice cover during the winter months and has open water during the remainder of the year. In the spring, when the ice edge retreats, extraordinary biological activity takes place, which ultimately produces abundant life on the seafloor. Did you know that? Hello, I'm Karen Sedzo, and I didn't know that. The Bering Sea is a marginal sea of the Arctic. That means it extends southward from the Arctic Ocean and crosses over the continental shelf break, where the bottom drops down to the deep ocean. The ice doesn't reach its most southerly extent until late March or April. Then a very rapid period of ice retreat follows. The melting ice produces a fresher water that floats on top of the denser seawater below. Algae cells that have been growing in the bottom layer of the ice are released into the water. Along with other algae from the deeper seawater, the cells rapidly reproduce into what is called a bloom. The surface bloom continues until all the nutrients are exhausted. Then the bloom sinks into the deeper water over the shelf, where the algae continue to grow. At the same time, the ice edge is moving north, and this cycle repeats itself in a band moving progressively northward up over the entire shelf, through the Bering Straits and on into the Chukchi Sea. Algae that reach the bottom serve as food for clams and other bottom-dwelling animals. Scientists at the Institute of Marine Science have been studying the ice edge and the spring blooms to better understand the life cycle and interdependence among species of the Bering Sea and to provide an approach to the management of the marine ecosystem. I'm Karen Setzel, and I Didn't Know That was produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC-FM.